Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming tonight. For many of you, this is the second community event. Some of you were at the Port Commission meeting just a few blocks up the street. Thank you for coming, for going there and for coming back here. I apologize that we're running a little behind schedule, but as you can imagine by the turnout here, there was a lot of interest in this topic and a lot of public comment. Public comment that we are open and welcome to hearing. And unfortunately, Director Kaczynski from the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing is still not here. He is on his way from the Port Commission, as is Elaine Forbes from the Port. My name is Randy Quesada. I'm the Director of Communications for the Port of San Francisco. We are going to be getting started in just a few minutes as soon as Director Kaczynski gets here. In the meanwhile, I do want to take a minute to point out these handy index cards. We have a lot of people here, and we want to be able to hear from as many people as possible. So if you would like to offer some comment tonight or questions or anything like that, please get an index card and pass them on to some of our colleagues. Just put your name down, and we will do our best to accommodate as many people as we can. Again, we apologize for starting a little bit late, but we do hope to get to as many people as we can, being mindful of time. Thank you. We will be starting shortly. Thank you.
My name is Mimi Silbert. I'm the president of Delancey Street. And I have not been invited to speak yet, but since I've given the Port this room free, I've stolen the mic for just a couple of minutes before everybody talks. I love London Breed. I know how terrible all these problems are. At Delancey Street, we have, I've been doing this, for, I think it's our 48th year. I have lived in Delancey Street. I raised my children with drug addicts, alcoholics, prison people, and homeless people, and all kinds of people who want to, what I believe is the best thing, which is change their lives. And we are an organization that no one has wanted. We're in six different states. We beg everybody to trust us. And in the end, we are secure, and we don't use drugs. And I feel that the homeless problem has now divided itself. There's homeless people, there's drug addicts, and there's mental health people. And I would love if anybody would meet with me to help make a circle of care so that we can finally get some serious mental health organizations going as we once did. And, well, needless to say, I am here with people who were drug addicts, who are changing not to be drug addicts, so I don't like injection sites. But it's awful to impose everything on everybody in a minute and say it's done. It just, they asked Nancy Pelosi, whatever you believe or don't believe, they asked Nancy Pelosi just a couple of days ago about impeaching Trump. And she pulled out a thing that on the back of it had an Abraham Lincoln quote. And it said, public support is everything. With public support, you can be successful. Without it, you will fail. And that's what I need to say. People, all the people matter. Delancey Street wouldn't exist without all these people who believe in us helping. And if everybody doesn't like it, then it won't be a good idea. So that's all I have to say, is I'm hoping when this is over, whoever feels they know something about this can meet with the mayor, with the head of homelessness, with people who are interested in starting something for mental health, with everything that does need a long-term solution so that we're not just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I know you could be here for the next 3 hours because this is my whole life. My whole life has been dedicated to people in trouble. And I feel like if I don't, I spend 20 hours a day. I was just at our South Carolina facility, where it's a small facility. We only have 50 people. And it takes them and me 20 hours a day to make sure that they're really doing the right thing. That's all. I know they're not coming, and I've stolen the mic. I'm sorry for that. But you're here in my house. I feel terrible, actually, that I wasn't smart enough to produce coffee, because that is what I should have done. So I'm guilty for what I think. I'm guilty for not giving you coffee. I feel bad that this, I believe, is not the right solution on top of all these people who won't like it. Cafe and produce all. Adam, are you here? Can we produce in the cafe or someplace a whole bunch of coffees? I feel bad. This is my home. This is not how I usually am. I'm so sorry. I make Delaney, this little light of mine, I'm gonna make, no, it's not gonna happen, okay.
Thank you, Mimi. Thank you all once again. I am deeply, deeply grateful for the community's turnout tonight. It speaks volumes of this neighborhood's passion and efforts to understand, provide input, and be part of the process. We appreciate that. At the Port, we've received numerous emails, numerous calls. We have been working very hard to respond to folks as the emails and calls have been coming in. Please provide more. The Port Commission meeting that just happened was the first opportunity for the city to present the proposal for the Safe Navigation Center at the Seawall Lot. This is another opportunity. There'll be other opportunities this week coming. The city will be presenting before the Fisherman's Wharf Waterfront Advisory Group, a joint meeting of the Central Waterfront and Northeast Waterfront Advisory Group meetings. The city will also be back at the South Beach Rincon Mission Bay Neighborhood Association meeting. And we're also organizing a follow-up community meeting similar to this so that we can continue to engage with folks and learn more about concerns, hear ideas, and the rest of it. This process is really important. We heard from many neighbors earlier, and we hope to hear from many again tonight. Tonight, when Kaczynski does get here, we'll be able to start a conversation. There's going to be a brief presentation from the director of the department to talk about the city's strategies around ending homelessness and how navigation centers fit in. There will be a presentation from Commander Lazar to respond to some of the public safety concerns. And we'll also hear from a neighbor sharing his perspective of what it's like to live near a navigation center, the Central Waterfront Navigation Center down in the Dog Patch community. In the meanwhile, I do, excuse me, I'm a little hot and sweaty. I kind of ran over, this is a big room and it's a big crowd, so I appreciate that. But in the meanwhile, I do want folks to get to know each other. I know many people.
Can you reintroduce yourself? Because I know you told us, and I apologize, but please tell us who you are again, because I don't know.
Okay, so my name is Randy Quesada. I am with the Port of San Francisco. I'm the communications director, and I've just been notified that we're going to get started. Emily Cohen is going to go through this presentation briefly, and then we're going to open up and hear from Commander Lazar and from our neighbor, McAllen, and then go from there. I just wanted to thank you all once again. I'm going to turn over the mic to Emily so we can get this thing going as quickly as possible and get to the part where we hear from you all. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Emily Cohen. I'm with the mayor's office, and I'm pinch hitting here for Director Jeff Kaczynski from the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. He's still making his way from the Port Commission meeting, but we didn't want to hold all of you up anymore. Really appreciate everyone being here. So I will go through his slides, and he will be here definitely in time for question and answer. So you'll get everybody's perspective on that. And as Randy said, we have a few other speakers, and then we'll keep it short and have time to hear from you. So let's talk about the Embarcadero Safe Navigation Center proposal. As everyone in this room knows, we are facing a crisis in our community of homelessness. It impacts every neighborhood. We have, on any given night, we estimate we have about 7,500 people experiencing homelessness. About 4,300 of those folks are living out on our streets with a variety of challenges, from everything from economics and food security. You know, they're facing a wide variety of challenges. And the Embarcadero area certainly has folks experiencing homelessness on port property and throughout the neighborhoods. And so, and additionally, the waterfront does not have a center, a facility in the immediate area to give folks a place to come in off the street, to be out of the neighborhood, and a safe place to be on their pathway to housing. So in order to respond to this challenge, in October of 2018, Mayor Breed launched an initiative to expand shelter by 1,000 more beds. Right? We know that we have people desperate to get in off the street every night, and we don't have the capacity to serve them. So in addition, so as part of this proposal, 212 of those beds have already been opened, and we are in the process of opening 800 more. Additionally, we have 300 units of master lease housing coming soon, and another 1,000 units of permanent supportive housing development in the development pipeline. So what is a safe navigation center? You know, there's been lots of rumors floating around, lots of emails that have come to my office, and so I want to make sure we're very clear about what a safe navigation center is. A safe navigation center is a temporary residential facility for people experiencing homelessness. It has high services, no walk-ins or lines as part of the model. By being open 24/7, we're able to accommodate folks at all times of day. And we have services on site. So meals, healthcare, benefits counseling, all of that is provided within the facility to help get folks on the track towards housing. And what makes it a little bit different than navigation centers is that we're trying to make them more sustainable and more scalable. So really taking the best practices of navigation centers and to accommodate more people. So the proposal for the Embarcadero Safe Navigation Center on port-owned property at Seawall Lot 330, 175 to 225 bed facility. You can see here we are still very early in the process of designing the facility. We have ideas of what it will incorporate, and that we will be prioritizing for this center. We will be prioritizing people living unsheltered along the waterfront. We want to make sure this is a neighborhood-serving facility. Another image, that one's a little bit hard to see, but the layout. Go ahead.
Did you bring one of the blocks?
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So this is Embarcadero here. Sorry, I can't even see it. I'm going to have to look at it on the computer screen. Yeah.
There we go.
So this is the perimeter fence along Embarcadero, and I believe this is Bryant Street along the bottom. Beale Street. Oh, inside the boxes, yep. So these are dormitories, outdoor accessible spaces, restrooms, community room, bike storage, storage for people's property, and then the entrance area. So community, restrooms, dorm, courtyard area, and gathering or active use space.
Where's the entry?
Drop off and entry is right here. Again, we're very, very early in this phase of the design, so this is a long way to go. Okay, let me just get through this and we will get to all of the questions. So one thing I did want to highlight, as part of all of our Navigation Center programs, we have a good neighbor policy that is intended to ensure that the community, that we are taking into consideration the community concerns and addressing those through good operations of the site. So it certainly includes working with the neighbors and city departments to address concerns, participating in the appropriate community meetings, making sure we're available to the neighborhood 24/7, so you guys will have a phone number that you can call to say, hey, there's something going on the site, I want to get that addressed. And certainly wanting to minimize the neighborhood impact by providing 24-hour security and not allowing walk-ins. Additionally, along in the good neighbor policy, actively discouraging loitering in the immediate area, informing the community about how to access the Navigation Center for folks. What's that? So by having outdoor outdoor area within the facility, we encourage folks to stay, and then we monitor the perimeter and ensure that people aren't loitering outside of the facility. Maintaining safety and cleanliness, and ensuring that we're not blocking driveways, and of course prioritizing clients who are sleeping in the immediate area. And Jeff is here, so I'm happy to turn it over to him. Come on up. So thank you for bearing with me. Happy to turn it over to Jeff, who can finish the presentation.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeff Kosicki. I'm the director of the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. Sorry, I was late. I was at the Port Commission hearing. How many of you were at the Port Commission hearing? Okay. So sorry that you've heard this already, but so we'll go through it really quickly because I'm sure you all have a lot of questions and comments. But just to talk about the NAV centers and the positive impact that they can have on housed and unhoused people and neighborhoods. An example is the Mission District. The Navigation Center was at 1515 South Van Ness, which is very close to where I live with my wife and two daughters. And when we started, there was a huge tent encampment problem in the Mission District, all over the Mission, especially around Cesar Chavez and 101. If you drove under, there was about 150 people camped out there around Best Buys and the SPCA, and there was just a lot of hot spots there. Over 300 tents and structures in the Mission proper, and then another 100 or so in Cesar Chavez 101. We used the 1515 South Van Ness Navigation Center in a very similar way to we would use the Embarcadero Navigation Center, which we set up this thing. I'm sorry, is that better? I'm so sorry. So in the Mission District, what we did is work with the police and the public health departments and the homeless outreach team and my department. Randy Casada was very involved when he was still working at HSH. And we met every day, and we essentially went block by block through the Mission District offering Navigation Center access to people who were in tents. And then when those individuals said no, you'd go back a few more times, and then finally, if we weren't able to get their assistance and their support, although the vast majority, 70% of the people were glad to come indoors. And then if not, we told them, you can't be camping here anymore. It's not legal. Man, this is going to be hard. Okay. So can you go back? Thanks, Randy. So what we ended up with was a dramatic reduction in the number of tents in the Mission District. which is where I live, and that has remained to this day. We opened up another navigation center on the other end of South Van Ness, which exists. And, you know, certainly not perfect. There are still people who need help in the Mission District. There are still people who set up tents in the Mission District, but it is so much better than how it was before, and so much better for the 700 or so people that we were able to get into the Division Circle Navigation Center. So absolutely has a positive impact. I don't know if, I think we have some people here tonight from the Dog Patch who are gonna speak a little bit and share their experience and what's happened in their neighborhood, so you don't have to take it from me. I think for me, the most important thing is, next slide, Randy, is the success that we have had with people. And as I'm sure Emily had already said, it's, you know, important to remember people who are experiencing homelessness are people. They did not grow up wanting to be homeless. They do not want to have to go to the bathrooms on the streets. They are somebody's son. They are somebody's daughter. This is not the life that they had dreamed of for themselves. And many, 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 I would say pretty much all of them, really need and want assistance. And one of the ways that we do that is by providing temporary shelter, which is what the navigation centers are. These are just two of hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of people who went to the nav center. The client up top there only was homeless for 2 years. I shouldn't say only, because 2 days is, one day is horrible. But she was homeless for 2 years, and she ended up went to the nav center, got a job, and found housing on her own. Not subsidized housing, she found housing on her own. The other client had been homeless for over 15 years. And by the way, they said we could share their stories, and they're proud of their stories. Diva was homeless for over 15 years and needed assistance, and she got into permanent supportive housing. She moved out of the navigation center. These are two people's lives of the many, many lives that we help every single day and help transform their lives into becoming part of society and living indoors and having jobs and taking care of themselves and taking care of their communities. So navigation centers are not the answer, but they're part of the solution, not only for your community down here, but also for the thousands and thousands of people who, like these women here, who need assistance. So thank you very much. I don't know if there's, what's next? Matt, okay. So now we're gonna, coffee and tea? Oh, thank you. There's coffee and tea in the back there. Raise your hand if you're by the coffee and tea. There's the coffee and tea. Want to hear from Mac Allen, who lives in the Dog Patch near the Central Waterfront Navigation Center.
Thank you, Jeff. I didn't realize I would be up against coffee and tea, though. thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Emily, to the DHSH and also the port. My name is Mac Allen, and I am a resident at the Dog Patch in San Francisco.
How far do you stay from the navigation center?
I'm sorry?
How far are you from the navigation center?
Yeah, exactly. Not far, maybe
3 blocks.
8, 9 blocks, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're more than welcome to visit. Thank you, folks. I will not be too long, I promise. I'm here tonight because I was part of the process to bring a homeless navigation center to my own neighborhood, the Dog Patch. And at the time, I was a member of the board of the Dog Patch Neighborhood Association. From the very first, I was a supporter of the project, and then I advocated on its behalf. Many of my neighbors, however, felt otherwise. They worried it would create quality of life issues, or encourage crime, threaten safety, or negatively affect property values or the character of our neighborhood. At the same time, many of my neighbors recognized that our city is home to many unhoused people who are suffering from poverty and experience daily hardships of living outdoors. Over the course of many meetings, we learned more specifics about the intent and the concept and the model embodied in navigation centers. Ultimately, my neighborhood voted strongly in favor of endorsing the proposal, which later became the Central Waterfront Navigation Center. In the more than 18 months that our navigation center has been open, not a single one of the negative predictions has come to pass. The skeptics and critics of our navigation center in my own neighborhood have, in fact, largely turned and are now supporters. In fact, who was perhaps the most ardent opponent of the project is now one of our supporters and is helping to lead an effort to, in fact, extend the duration of the Navigation Center in our own neighborhood. We're extremely proud of it, and I believe it's incredibly important that we support it. I'm sorry, I won't be answering questions at the moment. So we supported this project, and this evening I'm here because that support and the work that we did in order to bring support to this project is something that our neighborhood can be extremely proud of. If Rincon Hill and South Beach oppose this proposal, this neighborhood will be saying, not in my backyard, to a worthy project and a worthy cause. It will be claiming a special exemption from a responsibility shared by everyone in this city. To be clear, no neighborhood in San Francisco is exempt from this responsibility. So long as people go unhoused and unsheltered in the wealthiest city, in the wealthiest state in our country, every part of this city has an obligation to act. Dogpatch decided that it wanted to be part of a profoundly positive change in people's lives. We decided to support the mission and purpose of Navigation Centers, and because we welcome the center, I believe Dogpatch can rightly share in its accomplishments. Dogpatch asserts that compassion for those in need as a part of our character as a neighborhood, and we are better as a neighborhood for that. Embracing this proposal, the seawall lot proposal, is a chance to say clearly that this neighborhood wants to act to reduce the number of people experiencing homelessness, that this neighborhood is willing to share in the work that must be done. If you support this center as Dogpatch supports ours, you will be able to take pride in being part of an instrumental success in improvement to people's lives, people in need. I thank you for your time this evening. I will remain afterward to answer questions anyone may have about specifics of the Dogpatch Navigation Center, but now I'd like to turn the mic over to the next speaker. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Good evening. You probably thought I was just standing there providing security, but no, I have a few things to say, and I'm really glad. I want to echo what Randy said about the large turnout tonight. It means, as a fourth-generation San Franciscan, I know that people are committed to their neighborhoods. That's why you're here tonight. So let me just say a few things just to give you the San Francisco Police Department perspective. My name is David Lazar. I'm a commander in the Community Engagement Division. I am the representative of the SFPD in terms of homelessness. I represent the Department on Homelessness. First, I want everyone to know that on January 16th, 2018, we opened up the Healthy Streets Operations Center. And some of you in this room may not be aware that all the city agencies that are contributing to dealing with this issue in San Francisco have come to the table, and on a daily basis, 7 days a week, we have a command post stood up in our city where we're meeting with the Department of Homelessness, the Department of Public Health, Department of Public Works, 311, the Controller's Office, and a whole host of agencies to talk about in real time how can we get people connected with services into the Navigation Center, connected to drug treatment. So we, as police officers, are part of this because, as you know, you are the ones that often call us first. We become the front line of city government because we respond to calls for service and we address 311. And so we're actively involved in this. Okay, so now on to the Navigation Center. So we as police officers need a place for people to go to get help. I know everyone in this room probably agrees that people need a place to go to get help. And when we started 1515 South Van Ness a year and a half ago or whenever that was, we attended a meeting very similar to this where people, where residents on South Van Ness and on 26th Street were saying, no, not in our backyard, not on our street. There's too many problems here. It takes the police forever to respond out. This is going to be horrible. And what we did, like we're going to do tonight, is we gave the community a commitment in the mission. And we said, okay, well, if we do this, we promise, we police officers promise to constantly maintain and be on that block. And I wish we had a group of residents that were here tonight for 1550 South Van Ness to back up what I'm saying. And so what we did, the police department, and I can represent Chief Scott on this, is that wherever a nav center is opening up, Our commitment is to really be on top of things and to make sure that there is no loitering. There are no tents pitched. There is not drug dealing or any activity taking place. So we made 1515 South Venice and 26 the safest inner... I could say this as a police officer for 27 years. We made that the safest intersection in the Mission District. Our goal was to make anybody who wasn't from the neighborhood know that actually a navigation center was there. And one of the things that Emily said that was incredibly important is that it's not a drop-in center. It's not a center where you can just show up and there's a line out the door. No, this is by appointment only. This is by someone being brought there and a warm handoff. We, the police, bringing people there and checking them in and not allowing people to congregate and those sorts of things. So I'm saying 1515 South Venice was a huge success. I think Division Circle is very successful because we constantly are there several times a day making sure that the blocks surrounding that area are free and clear. And I'm saying that on behalf of the police department, our plan is to do the very same thing here, that we will several times a day make sure that we're here and we're constantly maintaining this. The last thing I'll say is this. So I'm not from Southern Station. I'm not assigned to this district as the captain. So I'm the commander, as I mentioned, of community engagement. I have about 40 police officers assigned just to me for the purposes of connecting with homeless individuals, resolving encampments, getting people connected into the navigation center. These are specially trained officers on the topic of homelessness that their goal is to make sure navigation centers are free and clear and people are checked in. And we're committed to this location to do the very same thing. So thank you for letting me tell you a little bit about what we, the SFPD, will be doing, and I look forward to fielding some questions later on. Thank you.
All right, so as we said, we are moving on now to public comment and questions. Many of you have already filled out speaker cards. Rebecca here is going to read out about five names. If your name is read out, please come to the center. Each speaker will have 1 minute to ask a question or make a comment, and then we'll go to the next speaker. So similar to how it was done at the Port Commission today, we'll keep things orderly, make sure everyone has an opportunity, and 1 minute per speaker, because I know that everyone here has something to say. So Rebecca will read the questions. If there are comments will stand. If there are questions, either Commander Lazar or Director Kaczynski will be able to respond to them.
All right. Apologies in advance if I butcher anyone's name. If you hear something that sounds like your name, please do come up. I will call the first five. Robert Scripp, Kim Mai Cutler, Jeannie Lyons, Dale S. from DSASF, Sarah from DSASF.
And everyone will have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Check out it. Great. Thanks. My name is Robert Scripp. I'm a resident at Portside, which is at Bryant and in Main Street. My concern is I have worked in government for many years, and I can tell you I work for FEMA, and I did shelter operations. And I can tell you that successful navigation centers, the model, the city's own data has said they work well when they're small and targeted and there's personalized care. No center is currently more than 84 beds. This is a mega center, and when you mega size things, you have issues with environmental health, safety, getting personalized care and treatment. So I have significant concerns about the size of this center, that the city has no experience actually operating something like this.
Other speakers that we read? No, not here. Oh,
sorry. Do you want to respond to each question, or how do you guys want to do this?
No, why don't we respond. After each five, respond. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I'm sorry. Before we begin, though, with the questions, I'd be really appreciative if people could not talk over each other, yell, be rude and dismissive. There's a lot of different... there's a lot of different opinions here, and there's going to be a lot of feelings tonight. They're all valid, and they're all important to hear, and everybody here is a human being. So let's treat each other with a little bit of love and respect. Thanks.
Hey, my name is Dale, born and raised in Potrero Hill. Been volunteering with At the Crossroads, which is a homeless youth outreach program, for the past 3.5 years. I've also been, you know, trying to be on the front lines, trying to combat homelessness, and I hope some of y'all will do so with me in a way that it focuses on the needs of those that are actually suffering and dying out on the streets, and not the needs of people who, you know, have property interests within the city. I'm in favor of this NAV center, although the one concern that I do have is that people aren't able to self-refer. You know, I don't think there should be any barriers to get into the shelter system. There's close to 1,400 people waiting for a single night in a shelter. And we did pass Prop C in November, which means there is a lot of money that's just sitting there to allow for more shelters, allow for more beds, allow for more supportive housing and pathways off of the streets. And I would implore the city to, you know, expand, you know, the amount of shelter beds. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah. I deeply care about San Francisco. This is a community that should care for each other. The United Nations reported that San Francisco's homelessness problem is a violation of human rights, as witnessed by the special reporter. The right to secure a home is a universal right under international human law. Lack of security of tenure can justify forced evictions of those residing in informal settlements. The world is looking at us, San Francisco. I moved here because I thought people cared here. People that are opposed to this make me deeply, deeply sad. And the only way that we could ever make the world a kinder place is if we care for each other. It's not going to go away. You can't just hide people. You can't just imprison them and jail them. This is a sickness that will continue to get worse unless we do something about it. I also want to make sure that it's a self-referral. There are currently 1,392 people on a wait list. 156 of them are senior citizens. So if you vote no on this, you allow elderly people to continue to die on the streets.
My name is Jean Lyons. I've lived here for 20 years. I feel like it's a little bit more unsafe today than it was when I lived here 20 years ago. I just want to give one quick anecdote because there's a lot of things I could say. Coming back from a volunteer obligation at 10:30 at Venice, I was approached by a young, newly homeless guy that had just moved here from Portland. He needed some help in getting back to some place he didn't know where, and I said, why? He said, because someone told me I could stash my bags over in this bush over in the Embarcadero. I said, well, describe the area. Let me help you get there. So he did, and we got on, and I kept waking him up because he was up all night because he felt like he was going to get attacked by sleeping in the streets. In any event, he goes there. As much as my heart bleeds for this guy, it's like I can't fix it. And I feel like I can't fix all of the people coming in on the Greyhound bus to live in San Francisco to take advantage of these services. Just one more thing. There's a friend of mine who has a homeless brother, and he's lived in the backyard of a couple, very generous couple in San Francisco. They are his legal guardians. They do have, they take care of him.
Hi there. My name's Kimai Cutler, and I just want to recount a story that really changed my perspective on the whole issue that I had about 2 or 3 years ago when I was volunteering at Project Homeless Connect. So I was sitting there, and there was a man who was kind of nodding off to sleep, and I started talking to him to listen to his story. And it turned out he had once actually lived in an apartment building right over by Packville Park. But what had happened to him was that his wife had gotten cancer, they had fallen into medical bankruptcy, and then she died, and he fell into a depression. And what that struck home with me about was that it could really happen to anyone. Like, you could do everything right, and this country doesn't have a secure economic social safety net, so we're all one economic shock away from also being on the streets. So I want you to think to yourself, if that was the case, if that ever happened to you, what would you want your city and your community to do for you?
All right, 5 more names. Earl G, or Gee, Bob Arns. No name on that one. Suzanne El Gamal. Suzanne El Gamal, Ernie Cree. Kirk Byers.
Hi, my name is Earl G. I've been a business owner, resident, and Master Associate Board Member of Portside for over 20 years. I oppose this location. It makes no sense to destroy a safe, upscale, desirable neighborhood for the sake of a political agenda. Intelligent city planning is about context. Navigation centers, due to their temporary nature, should be located in industrial and commercial areas where they will not pose a threat to the safety of residential communities and families. No one would consider locating a navigation center smack in the middle of Sea Cliff or Pacific Heights. Why place it? Why place it at Seawall Lot 330 in the middle of our thriving residential community? In closing, this is not what our residential neighborhood needs, wants, or represents.
My name is Bob Arns. I live in the Brannan. It looks right down on Mimi's amazing place here. And when we learned that your facility was here, we wanted to move in even more because you know how to do it. Then I have a building in San Francisco on Folsom Street, 515 Folsom. The city said, I was the only neighbor. They want to put a transitional housing center there, 8 stories. I supported it 100%. And they couldn't have done it without me. Now, this I do not support at all. This is the situation. How many were at the port today? Did anybody speak in favor of this? I don't think so. I was there. Let me just say this. I am an attorney. I have 2 wrongful death cases that I'm prosecuting for family members that were killed by homeless people. Let me just say this. Will you take on legal liability, the port? Will you take on legal liability, the city, for what's going to happen here? I've got the epidemiological studies. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Ernie Cray, and like Bob, I live at the Brannan, and my concern actually is more around just the location. We are living directly in a tourist zone. It's not becoming less of a tourist zone. It's becoming more of a tourist zone. And that represents people coming in and out of the city that aren't permanent residents. And I absolutely believe that we have to find an answer to homelessness. But I don't believe that this specific location on a temporary basis is going to provide that as an answer. Because this is going to be a direct line from Chase Center now all the way to Fisherman's Wharf. And quite frankly, there are other better places that you can locate and find the answer. The other part ends up being needs to be a more well thought out, longer term solution. What we're finding is everybody's here tonight because they got a notice that something was going to happen and they want to fight it. We have to do it on a more thoughtful basis.
My name is Suzanne El-Gamal. I live in the Watermark, which is right up against the proposed space. I'm just trying to get my arms around this. I have several questions, one of which is today's article in SF Gate was saying that this center, unlike any of the other centers, is going to house the mentally ill. Now, mental illness, I'm from the health profession, and I've dedicated 20 years of my life and continue for the rest of my life to work for nonprofits, so I don't appreciate the shaming that's been happening. However, in mental illness is not a temporary problem. So when you're saying temporary, that concerns me. The other thing is that this lot, as we learned earlier, is on very soft land. It has no access to plumbing or anything like that. I see that the mayor has an ordinance, is proposing an ordinance to waive, to make this construction exempt from building permits and so on. So I wonder how safe that will be.
So we've accumulated some questions. Let me go ahead and answer them. starting with the last one, there's no suspension of life safety requirements in building this site. So we are going to try to, we're trying to expedite how we build housing and shelter for people experiencing homelessness, but there's no exemption from standard life safety. I don't know if the, if anybody from Public Works is here to speak about the design. No, but we can do that at a future meeting. The other question about mentally ill is that we actually have opened, somebody before said, how come we have an open navigation center at San Francisco General Hospital or other facilities? We actually have opened a navigation center at San Francisco General Hospital, which exclusively serves people who are dealing with complex mental health issues. If we encounter somebody that's suffering from severe mental health issues, we do not bring them to a navigation center. We take them to a treatment program or to the hospital, depending on their needs. So not to say that there's not going to be some people who live at that site that don't suffer from mental health issues, but I assure you there's many people in your neighborhood that suffer from mental health issues as well. So, and then the last question was about the size of the site. So we actually run a number of temporary shelters that have over 300 beds in them. And that navigation centers, the largest navigation center, so to speak, is 128 beds. So it's not correct to say that the size of them being small is what's made them effective. And in fact, after doing a fair amount of research that Emily helped lead up with multiple focus groups with clients and people who are homeless, we actually learned that, you know, we could scale them up a little bit bigger, that we could still provide the services that people needed. And frankly, with so many people on the streets, we want to maximize our use of the space. We're not talking about building like these mega shelters that they have in other places with 400, 500, 600 beds. We're talking about, you know, 50 more people or so than we're currently serving in our biggest navigation center, but still smaller than most of our shelters. And we feel like it's the right number. So we do have experience, however, operating larger facilities.
Can you address why this location specifically
I'm sorry, I'm breaking with protocol. So we're going to take questions in order and I'll answer them as they come up.
Yeah, so I live about 2 or 3 blocks from the proposed location. I am very strongly opposed to this. I think it makes zero sense. At a certain level, I think District 6 is getting dumped with the problems for the rest of the city. You know, I think I looked up some of the data. I think we already have a majority or close to the majority of the shelter beds are in District 6. I think we have 2 or 3, and one of them, another one is just right on the border of District 6 of the navigation centers. You know, there's a whole other, there's like 11 districts, and District 6 is basically a dumping ground. The second thing is I feel like there's been a very expedited basis, which I feel is to railroad us into getting this done before we can actually oppose it and say we don't want this.
The next 5 are Amy Zhu, Suzanne McCormick, Rowan Katow, Victoria Campbell, and Julia Teitelbaum.
Hey, my name is Amy. My concern is there are 100,000 homeless in LA. If you build up this site, 100K, many of them will take a bus to come here, come down here, and kind of attract all the homeless to San Francisco.
I'm Suzanne McCormick. I live in the neighborhood, and I volunteered for many years at St. Vincent de Paul Village for the Homeless in San Diego. And our experience of, especially with the supportive housing and transitioning people into permanent housing, along with many other services, medical, dental, and counseling, it was very, very positive. And I think it would be unfortunate if all we heard from people was, what's going to happen to my property values? These are human beings who I think really could benefit from sincere and helpful programs.
Hi, I live in the Tenderloin, so I'm also in District 6, and I see a lot of homelessness every day. When my brother came out here to visit me, he was 15 at the time, he actually broke down crying seeing all the inequality that exists in the city, and it's part of why I started donating to the food bank and doing activism and other things. I strongly support this site. I am also concerned about the 200 beds number, but that's only because if I read the plans correctly, we're only talking about covering half the parking lot here. Cover the whole thing. Make it 400, 500 beds. We have a dramatic shortage of shelter beds, as you've seen. There are thousands of people on the street that have nowhere to sleep. We should be using all the parking lots that we have in the city to house them as fast as we can. Thank you.
Hi. I gotta say, this is the first public community meeting I've been to, and I'm amazed how many people are here and how much you all care. So as someone who wants to see people engage with civic issues, just like, thanks for taking the time. So to answer the first question, I live in the Dog Patch. I don't live here. I live 3 blocks from the current navigation center, which I learned this week. I have not noticed. It's been fine. I do work in Mission Bay, and I used to commute on the Embarcadero, so I rode past here every day for 2 years, all hours of the day and night on my bicycle to get to and from work and home. And I can say, there are a ton of homeless people here already. Like, if you bike over by the boats at night, they're there. They're always there. They're fine. They should have a place to go.
Hi, I live at Bayside Village. My name is Victoria, and I don't really have a lot of comments. I have a lot of questions. You said you were going to monitor the perimeter. How are you going to do that? How many security guards per resident? How many during the day? How many during the night? Where will they be stationed? Are they going to monitor the surrounding blocks? Some of these blocks are kind of dark where I live. Will there be additional street lighting? Will there be additional cameras? Who is going to pay for that? Who will be admitted as residents? Will they be women, families, single men? How will they be vetted? Are the existing facilities fully utilized? Are there any empty beds in existing facilities? I've spoken to a number of small businesses in this area who feel that they will not be able to deal with a number of people. They think that 200 or 250 residents is too many. Maybe we could take less. It may be a good shelter, but maybe not for this residences at that number.
Okay, I'll try to answer some of those questions. What is our current shelter system fully utilized? Yes, it is fully utilized. We do, you know, a lot people make reservations in our shelter beds, and sometimes they may miss a night for whatever reason. So there's a few empty beds in the shelters that we release later in the evening. But generally, the shelter system is full at all times. And I should also add that one of the challenges and one of the realities, and I would argue it's a human right issue, is that the Ninth Circuit Court ruled multiple times that if you don't have a place for somebody to go, a genuine offer of real shelter, you're not able to enforce like no camping or sit-lie laws. So one of the reasons why we need more shelter beds is so that when we are encountering people who are camped in residential areas or who are outdoors, who have been there persistently, we have to make them a legitimate offer of shelter. So kind of segueing into the next question, which is who's going to move in. Primarily what we're going to be doing is the HOT team and supported by the police when necessary and the Department of Public Health will be going through the neighborhood and identifying people who are in your neighborhood, in this area, who are homeless, who need assistance, and who want to come into to shelter. So that's the folks who will be coming in are people who are currently on the streets in the waterfront area. There was a question about security, but I'll let Commander Lazar take that. But as far as cameras, lighting,
how many security guards. That'll be part of a conversation that we'll have with you about, you know, what you think's going to work. This is what we did in the dog patch. This is what we did at 1515 South Van Ness, and it's what we did at Division Circle, is we developed these agreements with the community around security, police, and how it was going to work. But generally, there will be, again, I'll let Commander Lazar talk about police presence, but there will be a security guard and staff on site 24/7. And then a couple of other just, actually, I'll turn it over to Commander Lazar, and then we'll take some more questions.
Okay, just briefly, the homeless outreach officers that are assigned to me in partnership with the local station. So for Division Circle and 1515 South Van Ness, at least 2 to 3 times they passed by. If they weren't called there, we call that passing calls. They did that on the day shift and also on the swing shift. We're doing that now at Division Center, Division Circle. If you drive by South Van Ness and Division, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody hanging out, maybe one person at best. That's because of the constant maintenance that we do, and we would do the very same thing here. That's our commitment. Okay, there's a lot of questions. We're going to follow the protocol, but I will say this. The good news about having a nav center at a certain location is the police have to travel to and from that location and have to be there constantly. That's our commitment to city government, and that's what you get. You get extra patrols as a result of having something like this in your community. Extra patrols.
I'm going to read the next 5. Maria Moustakas. Sorry. Amy Wu, Sabiq Pradhan, Srumi Ramaswamy, Alan Cooper.
Hi, I've been in this neighborhood for 35 years. My family owns the Java House. I live next door at South Beach Marine Apartments. I just want to know, out of all the port properties like Pier 30, Pier 32, Pier 38 that's been empty for years, why is this the best property for this project? How can we trust the SFPD to help us? They can't handle it on a normal game day, and they expect us to trust them with this. I believe we should do it. I just don't think this is the right location.
Hi, my name's Amy. I live in Bridgeview, which is a few blocks away. I walk to work every day, I walk home every night, I run along Embarcadero. I wonder, you know, in the mission, they said there were 300 tents outside. I don't think there are 300 tents out here. I don't understand why this needs to be the place for it. I think this neighborhood is safe. I see maybe at most one homeless person at night on my walk home, and that's maybe once a week. And I don't fundamentally feel that this is the right area for it. I think there are other areas in San Francisco that need this. And I also fundamentally don't feel like we've answered the question of safety in the area and how we will patrol the area and make sure that the surrounding blocks and not just the perimeter of the shelter is safe.
Hey, Emily. So to address your question, both Southern Station and the officers assigned to homeless outreach officers will constantly patrol this area to make sure that the navigation center is clear. But that means that they're traveling all these blocks that surround the perimeter. And by the way, we're already doing that. And that's probably why you see least amount of people. If you were here maybe 6 months or a year ago, you would see a lot more. And then somebody over here mentioned something like, well, why aren't you adding increased patrols now? Number one, we are. And number two, it's because we're working to make the other navigation centers safe.
Hi, I'm Shruti. I live at the Towers on 2nd and King, and I am a property owner. Would be great if the data from the dog patch and the mission locations could be shared with this community from everything, including property values. We can't believe it until we see the numbers. I would also like to echo my concern around the fact that people will hear things about this shelter, whether or not they're true, what the rules are to access, and there's no telling that the community of homelessness will understand that this is not a self-refer. You can't just show up. So how are we going to prevent that from attracting people here? I'm all for this. I also don't believe this is the right location.
Thank
Hi, my name is Sabiq Pradhan. I live in Soma, just a short walk away from the proposed Navigation Center site. I don't know who said that there aren't homeless people in Soma. There's a tent on my street itself. I walk past homeless people every day on my way to work, and that's exactly why I'm so excited by the chance that we might build this Navigation Center and do something about this crisis. You cannot get the homeless people off the streets by criminalizing them or trying to push them somewhere else. It's ineffective, it's inhumane, and it's exactly why there's a larger concentration of unsheltered homeless in Soma and the Mission and the Tenderloin than in the rest of the city. If you want to get the homeless people off the streets, you need to provide them a better place to go. You need to build shelters and navigation centers. Like some previous commenters and like Supervisor Haney, I don't like how much of this has fallen in Eastern neighborhoods, but like Supervisor Haney, I don't believe that's an excuse not to build this shelter. Let's build this navigation center, let's lead by example, and let's call on the rest of the city to also pull their weight to dig us out of this crisis. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alan Cooper. I've lived in the neighborhood for 15 years, but I've been here for almost 25 in the marina. I'm a physician. I've done homeless medicine here for about 5 years. I work in the Fifth Street shelter where UC runs a small clinic. We have a desperate need for beds. That shelter fills up every night. When it's raining, when it's cold, it's horrible. We throw extra mats down, and we can get some people off the street, but many of them are very ill, and when we bring them in, we have no place for them, and we can't do things. We need the shelter. We need one here. There were 15 homeless people between Pac Bell and the Ferry Building yesterday when I walked it and talked to them. This is a very important thing, and we have to have it.
The next five names: Cher Coltronum, Natalia Paraxis, I'm so sorry, Marion Wellington, Babak, Homa Yaganegi.
Hi, my name is Cher Coltrona, and I've lived on Rincon Hill for 26 years. I'm very compassionate towards the homeless. I've done a lot of things over the years to try to help them. I don't think this is a good area to put this navigation center in. I'm concerned for the safety of my neighbors. I witnessed two very violent attacks walking from Harrison Street to where I work in the Mission. It was one block over from the Navigation Center on Bryant, and one girl was thrown to the ground and punched repeatedly and her phone taken. The other guy was thrown into oncoming traffic. So I called the police both times. I was on the phone with them. They grilled me over whether this person had a weapon or not in both cases. I said the weapon are his hands. What are we going to do when this happens to us?
Hi, everyone. My name is Babak Espandiari. I live on the other side of town, actually. Really quick, if I called you and you're from the west side of San Francisco here in support, can you just like wave or say something or clap? Thank you. I'm pointing them out for a reason. I'm here with my friends at Yimby Action. I really hope I'm able to get these guys' attention in a sec. I want one of these in my neighborhood. I want one of these on the west side. I want one of these on the north side. I want a navigation center everywhere because we have too many people living on our streets. We have too many people living without shelter. We need to build more housing. We need to build more shelters to get people out of the streets temporarily. And I'll tell you a simple story. I have a neighbor who lives across the street from me. She lived in a bus shelter for several months. And the only way she's in a wheelchair, she couldn't move. The only way she got out of that situation was because a few of my neighbors spent a lot of time talking to her every night, working with her. It wasn't the city, it was just a few neighbors. And they ended up referring her, and she got placed in a nav center, and then got placed in an SRO. So please support this proposal. The scale of the problem is huge.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marion Wellington. I'm with Tech Equity Collaborative, and I also helped out on the Prop C campaign this past November. Thanks, y'all. Thank you all for being here. I just wanted to do a quick language shift. I think a lot of times people think of homeless folks as separate and strangers, when in actuality they are our neighbors. They are people that we live with, and as people who are all very lucky to be in this progressive, wonderful city, I think we need to all have more collective responsibility to support our fellow neighbors. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Homa Yagonegi, and I've lived in Watermark for about 10 years. I think I just want to say personally and the people that I know, we all have a lot of compassion for homelessness and helping people, and in our own ways, we do a lot of work to help as best as we can. I think with this particular project, for me, there are two things. One is that there is a fundamental issue in San Francisco that attracts homeless people from all other states. For me, I think that is the core of the issue that has to be addressed. Band-aid solutions as to navigation, which is fabulous to do, but that's not going to help us with, you know, dealing with this issue, which is going to grow more and more as we provide more facilities and more care. So that's one thing. And the second thing is that I think we all agree that this is a good thing to do, but we in District 6 already have multiple sites that help this. We have to think about other opportunities, other facilities, other places to do that.
Next five. Evan Owski, Matthew Stray, Pablo, Nancy Floyd, and Sam Liu.
Hi there, my name is Pablo, and I was wondering if you could provide any stats on the other navigation centers as to sort of quality of service calls and police calls before the center opened, like a year before and a year after, and seeing trends. And then echoing the previous comment, I do feel that while the navigation centers are good, I don't see it as solving the whole problem, so I'm sort of concerned about that.
I'm going to give him my card and communicate with him because I have to look up those statistics. But I will say that 1515 South Van Ness was a night and day difference when we paid close attention to it and made that nav center free and clear, the streets surrounding that area. So I'll give this to you now. We can talk tomorrow.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Matt. I live on 180 Brannan, so about a block from this proposed site, and I walk by it every single day. A lot of what I've wanted to say here has already been said, but something I really want to reiterate is that the place that this is, it's a parking lot. It's an area that really, I think it is a good area, especially because we're right near the Trans Bay Center, we're right near the Embarcadero BART station, we're right near the Caltrain station. The N Muni line connects all of those basically and goes straight past this area. We don't really need all of these parking lots in this city. I say we should probably get rid of some parking lots, improve our public transportation, build more housing.
At this festive season of year, Mr. Scrooge, said the gentleman, taking up a pen, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, sir. Are there no prisons? Asked Scrooge. Plenty of prisons, said the gentleman, laying down the pen again. And the union workhouses, demanded Scrooge, are they still in operation? They are still, returned the gentleman. I wish I could say they were not. The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor then, said Scrooge. Both very busy, sir. Oh, I was afraid from what you had said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course, said Scrooge. I'm very glad to hear it.
Hi, I'm a resident across the street at the Brannan. I also own a clean technology business that's about five blocks from here. First, we are huge fans and happy to be neighbors of Delancey Street Foundation. I was just at the court hearing, and I want to tell you that there were many speakers, and no one who lives in this district supported this project. Everybody had compassion. Everybody had compassion for the homeless. But this is what we heard. This is a deeply flawed location. This is a densely populated residential neighborhood with lots of families and seniors. This is not a hub of homelessness. There are more schools and child care centers in this neighborhood than any neighborhood in the city. And this is a major thoroughfare for tourists and sports fans. Okay, bye.
Hi everyone, my name is Sam Liu and I'm born and raised here in San Francisco. I heard just now that there was no one in this neighborhood that was supportive of this navigation center, but what I want to also ask is, are there any unhoused folks who are in this room who would be in support of this navigation center? And these are the people that aren't a part of the conversation but are constituents and also residents of this district. The other thing I want to address is that 70% of homeless people were housed San Franciscans before they were homeless, and another 20% are from around the Bay Area. So when we say that people are being bused from outside of the city, it's not true. People are from San Francisco, and they deserve to be able to stay here. Lastly, I just want to reframe this conversation about public safety. And really, when we're talking about public safety, I want to say it's far more dangerous for homeless people to exist on the street than when you are walking by an unhoused person.
Before I call the next names, I just want to announce that we are coming to the end of our time shortly. We are asking that we wrap up around 7:50, that's 7:50. I'm going to start calling the names, and if there are pressing questions, we will continue to answer them. The next five are Jack Harmon, Catherine Cho, Dane Ince, Chris Kelton, and Marcus V. DeCuna.
I'd like to start by saying that I live about two blocks from the proposed location on 75 Folsom Street, and I'm strongly in support of it. Frankly, I don't understand how anybody can live in this neighborhood and say that there isn't a problem with homeless people on the streets. I walk from the Caltrain station down Townsend and then up Spear Street every day, and I see probably 10 or 15 people sleeping on the sidewalk, sleeping in tents. These people need somewhere to live. Can you imagine what it would be like if that was you or someone you loved? Can you imagine how difficult that life must be? Please find it in your hearts to give these people somewhere to live.
A lot of passion in this room. My name's Chris Kelton. I have lived in the South Beach area since 1989. My wife and I operated a small business along Townsend since 1993. At that time, there was a methadone clinic where 88 King stands now. We got broken into so many times in the first 6 months, I stopped calling my insurance because they threatened to boost my rates. Here's the situation. With all due respect, all the other navigation centers that are built in other neighborhoods, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of people walking up and down the Embarcadero every day. We have 40,000 people that come into this neighborhood when there are ball games. I worry for their safety.
Hi, my name is Wallace Lee. Thank you for deigning to, for yielding his time to me.
We've heard a lot of assurances tonight from the city, but I think action is much more important than words. So I've visited all of the navigation centers in the city this week or last week, and I've talked to homeless people staying there, and it's clear that they're grateful for the shelter, but it's equally clear that it doesn't belong in a densely populated neighborhood. I heard the captain say that they clear tents out. At the Division Circle Navigation Center, I saw two tents not 10 feet away from the front gate. If you look over at 5th and Bryant, which is much closer to us, there are 6 tents over there the other day. So I think we need action, not words.
Hi, everyone. My name is Catherine Cho. I'm a resident at the Watermark. There's been a lot of comments about, you know, property values and this being like a property conversation. I just want to say that that's not the case for us. When I moved to the city, I actually couldn't really afford to live here. And many people, my friends and my family, don't even necessarily know that I almost went broke. And I think I'm not saying that I don't have a lot of privilege and there aren't a lot of resources that I had access to. But living in the Watermark, you know, my husband and I are trying to start a family. I'm actually 16 weeks pregnant, and I am extremely concerned about my unborn child, my family, my community that I love. I love living here, and I just want to say I oppose this navigation center. I don't think it's the right location.
I'll call the next 5. Jean or Joan Benko, Laura Foote, Matthew Slane, Wendy Wong, and Mark Bruno.
Hi, I'm Jean, and I live at the Brannan, and I've lived there for 20 years. And I strongly oppose the proposed location of this navigation center. I fear for my safety, my health, and my life. Every time I walk to work daily, I walk past there on a daily basis. I've had a homeless person throw a glass bottle at my head and miss it by a couple of inches. I've been attacked verbally, a lot of sexual propositions, a lot of drug propositions. I've almost tripped going down to the BART with my luggage because I'm stepping over a homeless person. I see the most horrific conditions in our sidewalks and our streets every day. And I just think this problem's going to get worse.
Hi, my name is Laura Foote. I've been doing housing advocacy around the Bay Area for about 4 years now. So I've been to a lot of hearings. I've been to hearings where they were trying to permit housing in the South Bay. I was actually in San Mateo this morning. And there is always a reason to say no. Every place has their own reason to say no. And tonight I've heard a lot of no's. I've heard a lot of people say it's not fair. And I'd like you to dig down deep and find your yes. And maybe it's not going to be here because you can't bear to have homeless people housed near you. You know, maybe that's not going to be your yes. But you got out here tonight to advocate for something, to say no to something. And so I'm going to ask you to take that same energy and say yes to something. Do something positive for your community somewhere. Maybe it's transit. Maybe it's affordable housing. Say yes to something.
Good evening. My name is Wendy Wong. I heard a lot of yes and no today, but I want to let you know that people want to let you say yes. They always label you as hate group if you say no. They smear you, and they said that you have no compassion. In San Francisco, we have those legislation. They legalize marijuana. They make marijuana recreational. We have this problem. The shelter, the navigation is not a solution. How are we going to deal with the drug addicts? 60% of people homeless are drug addicts. We have to find a root cause. Yes, the world is watching us. They watch us become the addict city. I feel so ashamed to bring people to the Embarcadero area. And we can see homeless, we see tents. We also see those homeless people are breaking in cars. I feel shameful, so not for fear.
Good evening, folks. My name is Matthew Steen. I used to live in Rincon Hill. And I do support this navigation center or navigation center somewhere on Port Property, but I also support navigation centers in all of the other districts in the city. And right now, we only have navigation centers in 3 different districts, which means 8 districts are ignoring their responsibilities. However, I fully trust that this navigation center will be a successful facility because we have excellent contractors, city contractors working on the other navigation centers with 24-hour care with case managers. So I think that this will eventually work out, and my only other concern is, will there be ancillary services available around the center as well? But I do support this center. Thank you.
I got the last one. Thank you. So I've been working with the homeless for 18 years in North Beach, Chinatown, and the financial district. I'm not at all opposed to the homeless. I know many people are homeless, and they're exactly like everybody in this room. Complicated and fragmented and diverse. They're tall, short, poor, evil, and good. I've had people stare with me with a knife who I've been helping, and I've had other people take me into the home that I helped them get. The one concern I have is, what are we going to do as a city, if this was to go forward, with those people, and there will be many, who come in and still are on drugs and still are using alcohol? Can we have services, and this follows up perfectly with the person who just asked, for these people who are on drugs and alcohol while they're there? How are they paying for the same thing that we're giving them? And lastly, I want to say, the reason we love this place, Mimi, is because this is dry. This is sober. People pay for it. If you are living here, you have paid for it by being sober and committing yourself to change. Can we ask the people who come to this center to do the same?
I'm going to call 5 names, and then after this round, I'm going to call another 5, and that will be the final 5, because we are at the end of our time shortly. The next 5, Vincent Wu, Raka Dutta, Pete Godbull, Kazia Plattner, and Jim Ash.
We will respond to the mental health and services question.
Hi, I'm Vincent. I just want to say I think the number one concern I've heard addressed tonight is the location and then some aspect of the facility perhaps not being good enough, like the ground or like I think earthquake safety, I guess, was that angle. But guys, the location is fine. It's fine. Maybe it's not the perfect location. It's totally okay. It might not be the best one. Do you want to make homeless people wait another 6 months while we try to buy the perfect site somewhere? I've seen people die on the street. I walked past a 50-year-old man sobbing on the street 2 nights ago, and I thought to myself, I'm walking away from another dying person. I don't want to do that anymore.
Hi, my name is Raka. I live in the Portside building. I've lived in Soma for 11 years and in that specific building for 7, so I've been around the area for a lot of change. 2 things I've noticed today. One is that people are talking past each other. Just because you're no doesn't mean you're against the navigation center, a navigation center, or against homeless people. And also, this isn't about property prices. It's about how people feel about safety. There are literally three condos that have entrances that look directly across from this proposed lot. And then the other thing I wonder about is, you know, the reason we moved here was because of the atmosphere in the Embarcadero. In the past couple years, we've seen the Super Bowl Village, America's Cup, Giants, you know, World Series wins plus the AVP tournament. These will go away.
Hi, I just wanted to say a couple things real quick before my question. Thank you, Southern Station, for police presence at Safeway. I've been worried about Safeway bailing on our neighborhood entirely because of the homeless there. And so please pass on my sincere appreciation to Southern Station. Speaking of that neighborhood, I think a lot of us are in agreement that there's a challenge in the neighborhood, creates an opportunity, and I worry more about Caltrain. I worry more about Safeway. Did anybody think about any property that we might be able to get on Townsend, possibly, for prioritizing over where we're thinking about it today? I worry about that as an entrance in and out of the city and the safety of all of our commuters, even though I live here.
Hi, my name is Pete. I live in the Watermark. And I've heard a lot of discussion about why yes and why no. And for me, the one question that I haven't heard answered is why this location? I heard there's so many districts, and I still can't get my head around why were none of the others considered. I see people needing support for homeless, and it's a reasonable thing to do, but wouldn't you ask the question, so how does the city make a selection of picking this district for so many navigation centers? And I think the safety concern is real. So while we all have our points of view, let's try and understand each other a little better. Thank you.
I'm going to answer a few of the questions. First, around the services that are available on site for the people who are there. We have an excellent partnership with the Department of Public Health, who are providing services on site and who will get people connected to... Sorry about that. So we do provide services on site in partnership with the Department of Public Health. We make sure everybody who comes in gets onto Medi-Cal, gets assigned a doctor, gets all the benefits that they are eligible for, and if they've got any kind of untreated illness, to make sure that they're getting care. So that is a big part of what we do at the navigation centers. Then there was questions about why. Why this site? Why this district? Questions about Caltrans. So for the past year or so, or at least a year, we've been meeting, and certainly since more intensely since Mayor Breed has been in office, we've been meeting almost every week with the Department of Real Estate, Department of Public Works, our departments, and staff from the mayor's office to really scour the city and look at properties all over the city. We've evaluated at least 100 different sites, and a lot of them don't work out for a whole variety of reasons. We have certain things that we're looking for in terms of the square footage of the site, the proximity to public transportation, how long we'll be able to use the site for, access, can we bring utilities onto the site, et cetera. So we've got a set of criterion, and this is one of the sites that we identified. As far as Caltrans goes, we've already opened up two navigation centers on Caltrans property, and we're looking at another site, not in this district, on Caltrans property as well. So we are looking all over the city for sites. We've been talking to every supervisor. We've gotten positive feedback, and no supervisor has said to us absolutely no navigation centers in our district. So it is not only this city, not only this location we're looking at, but this location did meet a lot of our criteria, and frankly, there's not, you know, a ton of sites in the city that do. And then the last, I just want to address again security and safety. You know, I hear that is a concern. I'm not going to pretend that our streets are okay and that, you know, we've already done our jobs and we took down a bunch of tents and we're finished. Now, there's a lot of work to do in the city. There's a lot of people suffering on the streets. There's also a lot of mental health issues. There's a lot of untreated substance use. All of those things we absolutely need to address. Like, we understand and hear your concern. But I believe, you know, and I have lived here since 1989. I've raised my children here. My wife's a public school teacher. I am also concerned about safety for myself and for my family and for my neighborhood, which is very close to two navigation, well, one open navigation center. So, and I can tell you that I think, and I think you heard from people from the dog patch, that it helps make the neighborhood safer. It's not, the people are already here. There already are people on your streets who need help. There already are people who are suffering from mental health and other issues. This is going, sorry? Okay, well, people ask me to answer questions, so I'm answering them. But I will. Okay, well, I'm talking about safe. Okay. And again, I think that the site's going to make the neighborhood safer. I understand people's concerns. Commander Lazar understands your concerns. We've been partnering with them for a number of years. And again, I believe that this is going to make your neighborhood safer, and it's going to help, you know, hundreds of people who are on our streets who are in need of assistance.
All right, the final five. Thank you all for your patience, and thank you for coming out. And thank you especially to everyone standing. Wallace Lee, Eric Johnson, Saurabh Rai, Milo Trouse, and Dana Buchel.
Yes, I would like to, if the director could answer some questions. And what I would like to know is, what happens to people that come into the center and they refuse mental health care and they refuse drug health care, you know, some substance abuse care? Now, also, what happens now when we have, what, how many thousands of shelter beds and stuff? Is the city reaching out to those people that use those facilities now to do the same type of navigation without having to spend money to build some structure some other place?
You've already spoken once.
Someone yielded it. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he can't keep up my time.
Hello, my name is Milo Trouse. I'd like to tell a little bit a story about myself quickly. I grew up across the street from a recovery facility for people who were addicted to all sorts of substances. And I turned out pretty well-adjusted, regular person. It was okay. I have a little baby nephew who's very cute. He lives in this neighborhood. I'm confident he'll be fine. In fact, much better off if he grows up in a community that has supportive services for people who are experiencing homelessness on the street. Instead of being on the street, they're at a place like this. And if you are a parent and you're here and you're worried your kids are not going to turn out well if there's something like this, maybe that's on you for being unrealistic.
Hi, my name is Dana Buchel. I live in D6 in the Tenderloin. We really need this navigation center. People are suffering and dying on our streets because we don't have anywhere near enough shelter beds and housing to support our population. We will all be safer and better off when all of our neighbors can sleep inside. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Saurabh. I stay in the Watermark. I want to congratulate all these people with the Yes badge. You guys are really compassionate and I admire that. But none of you have given me a reason why this is the right location. Everyone said we need one. Yes, I agree we need one. But I haven't heard a single argument as to why Seawall Lot 330 is the right location for the Navigation Center. When I came in, I got this. I guess everyone got one of these. It says, how are the sites chosen? Why here? Sites have to meet requirements set by the Department of Homelessness around cost effectiveness. I'll stop there. Are you kidding me? This is the most expensive real estate in the city waterfront, and you call that cost effective?
Hi there, my name is Eric Johnson, and I'm a realtor in the neighborhood, so I have interest in this from my business perspective. but I also am a homeowner in the neighborhood and own a couple of properties here and live at the Watermark. And my question is more specific to the Watermark and the residents at the Watermark and my clients who I encouraged to buy at the Watermark, including my family, who was, the Watermark was built by the Port of San Francisco, and the people, and they the Port of San Francisco charged top dollar for people to have the opportunity to live at the Watermark. And they were also promised that a hotel would be built next door on the lot, on the seawall lot. And that shops and restaurants. And now what's happening is the exact opposite of the lifestyle that the Port promised. But, and so is there a case for fraud for that?
All right, very quickly, Mr. Kaczynski did not talk about the Bryant and Fifth Navigation Center across the street from a 400-bed homeless shelter. Underneath the freeway, next to that navigation center, are tents that are constantly placed there. They promised our neighborhood 24-hour surveillance. It does not happen. Okay? Fifth and Bryant, please go over there. Also, more districts. If the supervisor of those districts say we don't want a navigation center, what the heck does that mean? Am I right?
Thank you guys all very much for your questions. I know, I was just going to introduce him. Don't worry, I wasn't going to cut him off. I'm sorry we didn't get to every question. We will be having a second community meeting, so you know, stay tuned for more information on that. And I want to introduce Supervisor Matt Haney.
All right, well, first will you please join me and give a round of applause to everybody who shared tonight. I want to appreciate you all for being a part of this conversation. This is a massive turnout. I know many of you were at the Port Commission today. I would have been there. We had a board meeting today. I'm your supervisor. I represent District 6. I've been the supervisor for the last 2 months. And what I want to say, first of all, is that I learned a lot tonight. I was told by the mayor's office and the Department of Homelessness that your feedback tonight was going to inform the next steps, that it was going to inform the design. Actually, this was the first time that I've even seen the design. So this really, as far as I'm concerned, is just coming out, is just being presented, and there's a lot more conversation that needs to happen. I am going to be holding my own forums in the neighborhood for the three buildings that are right around where this proposal is. I'm going to offer to hold meetings in those buildings and listen to you and make sure that this has everyone's concerns addressed. The whole point of a navigation center should be to address community concerns and be supported by the community. And so if there's still questions, if there are still concerns, we need to hear those out, and we need to have a timeline moving forward that actually addresses that. I will also stay here. I know many of you have been here for a long time. I will stay here and talk to anybody who wants to talk to me and share with me directly. I am your supervisor, and it's my responsibility to represent you. There's a couple things that I heard that are of concern to me, and I've expressed this to the mayor's office, and I think that we need to have these worked out. I support navigation centers. I think that navigation centers are an integral part of solving homelessness. I think that they help get people off the street into services. I've been to most of them, and they can work, but they have to be done right. And that's the absolute key of why we still have some work that needs to be done here. One is that all of the other navigation centers are about 100 to 125 people. And there's something to say for that model. You get more intensive services, you have more support, and now this one is 200 people, and it's the first one of this size. So I really want to understand how they can provide the same level of outcomes in a much bigger facility and actually have the faith that it'll work well. The other thing is that the length of time, you all are hearing a lot of promises about what this is going to do for the neighborhood. And if it happens, I'm committed to making sure that there are those positive results. But just giving a 4-year lease, I think, is not the way to do that. I think we need a shorter lease. And I think we need to be able to demonstrate outcomes for the people who are in the center and for the community in order for it to continue any longer. And I'm advocating with them to make sure that happens. The security plan so far is insufficient. That was not enough. We need to make sure that you all are confident. In the other neighborhoods where they've had this, they've had a really clear and built out security plan. And if this is going to be approved anytime soon, we need to see a lot more there. The indoor space needs to be better articulated. And lastly, well, actually two last things. One, we need to make sure that this is focused on addressing homelessness here in this neighborhood. You should be able to walk outside and see a demonstrable improvement where people who are living under the freeway, who are living in tents, who are suffering, are in a better place. And your neighborhood is in a better place because this is here. And you need to be convinced that that's actually going to happen. Last thing is, they need to propose another navigation center in another supervisor district before this is approved. The reality is that more and more these services are being concentrated here, and that's not fair. And I heard that. I live in the Tenderloin. I've seen this in District 6. It's unsustainable to do it this way. So I've told them directly, if you're looking at other sites and other supervisor districts, to be fair to the people of District 6, you gotta propose one publicly somewhere else before we approve this one. So those are the things that I want to see happen. I support navigation centers. I believe we can do this right. I believe we can get this done in a smart way, and I want to be clear about that. But there's a lot of things that we need to work out together to make sure that we move forward and that this is effective in helping people get off the streets, access high-quality services, and improve this neighborhood, which has happened in other places, and it should happen here too. So that's my commitment to you as your supervisor, matt.haney@sfgov.org. Email me, call my office, we'll call you back. We want to hear your feedback. I appreciate everyone who is here on all sides of this. My responsibility is to hear your concerns, your questions, and make sure that those are addressed. Thank you again so much for coming here. I appreciate it.
Before we wrap it up, I wanted just to let you guys know about the next community meetings. We have several coming up. So at the Fisherman Wharf Community Advisory Group on March 19th, we will be there. The Central Waterfront Advisory Group on March 20th, we will be there. We will be hosting another community meeting on April 3rd. And on April 8th, we'll be at the South Beach Mission Bay Neighborhood Association. So please come out to future community meetings. And thank you.